Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. It is a time in which we are facing literally deluges that are shaping part of our security situation as well as the lives of millions of Americans. It is a time in which we are facing other challenges, domestic and foreign. And who better to talk about all of this than our Dallas-based senior fellow at the Center for Security Policy, Kevin Freeman, one of the country's preeminent experts on economic warfare, the author of a terrific blog entitled GlobalEconomicWarfare.com, and the author of two best-selling books, Secret Weapon, How Economic Terrorism Brought Down the U.S. Stock Market and Why It Can Happen Again, and Game Plan, How to Protect Yourself from the Coming Cyber Economic Attack. Kevin Freeman, welcome back. It's so good to have you. Unfortunately, on a time and in a day in which we're watching our friends in the Houston area literally try to keep hope alive. Talk a little bit about what's happening down there, Kevin, at the moment, and what it means for our economic as well as national and homeland security.
Well, thanks, Frank. It's always good to speak with you. You know, it's a tragedy happening in South Texas, not just Houston, but kind of centered on Houston. But it occurs to me that this makes a point that you've made long for several years, that Mother Nature can unleash some pretty powerful economic forces against our nation, much as a solar flare could wipe out the electric grid, and you've warned of that. We're watching Mother Nature attacking a huge, maybe a quarter of our oil refining capacity that happens to exist in that area. Some 2.5 million barrels of oil a day are refined in the Houston area and turns into gasoline, and about a quarter of our gasoline comes from there. So the economic impact, beyond just the human impact of displacing homes, destroying property, and so forth, the economic impact in the energy sector is quite serious.
And do you expect it to be enduring based on what is now, of course, we're still in the middle of this storm, I guess. It's premature to make any calculations. But from what you're seeing, from what you're hearing, reading about how the physical infrastructure of our energy facilities in the Houston area are faring, do you have a sense of whether this is going to be a condition that is going to be with us for quite some time?
Well, I have an optimistic sense of, you know, Texas is a resilient state and the people are resilient and the infrastructure we build is resilient. So my expectation is that we'll be able to get back online fairly soon. But you never know. Water damage is something that you don't necessarily see at first. And that's, we're getting so much water poured on these refineries. Now, the production that's in the Gulf, we've shuttered a portion of that, but some of that's already come back on stream. And the Gulf, you'd expect the oil platforms to be very resilient. They planned and prepared for hurricanes. What we don't know is the impact of the rains that could happen, you know, if it could slam and impact the Permian Basin at some point, depending on the way that the storm sits and where it goes. It does show how vulnerable we are, and it just the personnel issue, just have the people back to work. You know, even if the refineries stand, people that have been displaced from their homes, how do they get back in and do their jobs?
Amen. Kevin, you were kind enough to call attention to the work that we both have been doing for some time now, warning about electromagnetic pulse and other threats to our most critical of critical infrastructure, our electric grid. I'm interested that just last week there was a piece in WorldNet Daily about an exercise called EarthX that was undertaken by a terrific group called the Electric Infrastructure Security Council to try to really game out what they call a black sky catastrophe, whether it's a man-induced attack on that electric grid or the sort of Mother Nature terrible solar storm that could have a similar kind of deleterious effect. These are indeed things that we've got to be factoring in, thinking about, preparing against. Let me turn to another topic we're going to be discussing throughout the program, Kevin Freeman, have been doing so for some time and will, I'm sure, for the foreseeable future. And that is this phenomenon of the efforts being made by an unholy alliance of radical leftists on the one hand, like the Southern Poverty Law Center and the Anti-Defamation League, and Islamists of various stripes, mostly under the influence, it seems, of the Muslim Brotherhood, to silence our free speech, in which we raise concerns about what one or both of them are up to. How do you see what's going on here, and in particular, as it's now manifesting itself in some of America's largest and most profitable companies?
Well, it's a very sophisticated effort, and the effort goes back. I think there was a catch on tape of Secretary Clinton talking to the Islamists. You know, we have this pesky thing called free speech, but we can shame people. And that was the methodology explained when you have a First Amendment, a pesky little First Amendment. The promise is, how do we get people to stop saying bad things about, jihad and radical Islamists and the imposition of Sharia law? Because if people talk about it, then they might try and stop it.
And by the way, this wasn't just an open mic. This was a speech that she made back in July of 2011, in which she talked about using old-fashioned techniques of peer pressure and shaming to get around the First Amendment. And some of that seems to be what's playing out at the moment, isn't it?
That's exactly what's playing out. And this methodology is very sophisticated. It's incorporated, well, we've got to tear down Fox News because Fox News was putting out contrary information. You know, it's, what a shame they're telling the truth on some of these things. So you go after the hosts of Fox News and you systematically attempt to remove them, which we've seen happen. We've seen attempts to buy up Hollywood. We've seen manipulations, for example, the Turkish government manipulating to stop the movie The Promise, which was a $100 million movie made with Christian Bale, and they did every effort they could to prevent it from happening. It told the story of the Armenian genocides, a story that the Turkish government didn't want out. We've seen the efforts that the SPLC is doing to brand hate groups. You know, on the one hand, they'll list a few pro-jihad organizations as a hate group, but then they call those that point them out as also hate groups. And that's where we're really seeing a problem, because they're raising enormous amounts of money. This is a group that doesn't apparently do much of anything other than point out the hate groups. They're raising enormous amounts of money, including a large donation from J.P. Morgan, for example, and Apple. And that's the easy thing for the corporate executive. Oh, I don't want to be labeled a hate person, so proving I'm not, I can make a small donation from Apple's perspective or J.P. Morgan Chase's perspective to this group. Well, that proves I'm not a hater. But that small amount of money is enormous when it's applied with the credibility that the SPLC is trying to claim.
Yeah, and it's not all that small. Let's be clear. It's a million here, a half million there. It's real money in terms of, as you say, trying to buy influence and silence people by smearing them. And Kevin Freeman, I guess one of the things that we'll be talking about shortly with Christine Brim is the way this is being institutionalized, with government's unanimous adoption by the United States Senate, for example, of a resolution that sort of leans us forward towards criminalizing hate speech or even hate intent. There's also, of course, what's happening in Europe, as we'll be discussing with her today. As you look at this, Kevin Freeman, is there any doubt in your mind that where this leads is a mutation beyond recognition and to our great detriment of our First Amendment freedoms?
Oh, that's the intention. It was telegraphed by Secretary Clinton. It's now being well funded. It's systematically being applied. We're seeing it even in officials inside the Trump administration who have been targeted because they hold contrary beliefs and they've been forced out. And we've seen CARE supporting officials that have stayed. So this is the plan, and we're watching it happen before our very eyes. The whole media effort to claim Antifa is acceptable and good, but the white supremacists are bad. No, they're both bad. they're both terrible, and they're both a violation of American principle.
And the president is being excoriated for making that point. We hope that he'll stand his ground, and we appreciate you doing the same. Kevin Freeman, as always, our hearts and prayers go out to the people of Houston and other parts of Texas. Thank you for reporting from a proximate area, and hope you'll stay well and come back to us again next week. Next up, we'll talk with Gordon Chang. We'll take stock with him of what's happening in Asia at the moment and what it might mean for you. That and more straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.